This is Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. Herzlich willkommen.
All right, let's do it. That was a little Irish jig. How
I don't
are
know
you?
if people could hear that.
I don't think so. It doesn't matter. Today we're off topic. We're not doing anything Austrian. Decided to recap a classic, new classic.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out last week, but we were busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a spring film. So this is me telling you all about Irish Wish, which is a new Netflix film starring Lindsay Lohan.
I think you could just put anything Irish before it, like Irish Spring, Irish Wish.
Yes. Irish Potato Famine. So you don't know anything about this film?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, so Lindsay Lohan, I've always had a soft spot for her. She was kind of raised by wolves.
She was everywhere in the 90s and then...
Early 2000s, yeah. But then she had like a lot of, I think, addiction issues, and her parents were the worst.
All I know about her is that she's in Dubai.
Yeah, I think she married a guy who's from the Middle East, and they have a kid together.
Yeah.
And she seems to be doing well. This is like the second Netflix one. The other one when she did that Christmas one. I told you about it.
Right.
I did a recap on it.
Yes.
A long time ago.
No, that was the Brooke Shields one.
No, that one was recent. That was for, that was a castle, a Christmas, Castle for Christmas or something, a Scottish one. So I've done a couple of the recaps, but not on the podcast.
Hmm.
So, should I tell you all about this film? Are you excited?
I'm very, very excited.
In 2 weeks, we'll be back to Austrian stuff, because this week is Easter holidays for kids, so we'll be busy wrangling kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do probably two parts of the Alma Mahler story. Very exciting.
Very, very excited.
What did we do yesterday that was very Austrian?
We had a third man day.
Yeah.
Like the whole day.
The whole day. So yeah. We watched the third man and then we went to
Third Man Museum.
Yeah. And that was cool. I've never been before. I'd always wanted to go.
It was very cool.
Yeah. It's a private collection.
Highly recommended. And I'm still, I could do a whole episode on that.
You could do. Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. We could save that. Let's do that. Okay. We'll do that soon. When I'm tired, you'll be in charge of talking about it. And I'll just go, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
And then. But I do recommend people watch the film before they go to the museum.
Oh, absolutely.
Because otherwise it would not probably make that much sense.
And it's a great film.
It's a fantastic film. Yeah, let's do it. We'll do it. We'll do an episode on The Third Man.
Let's do it.
All right. So, hi, everybody. Welcome to Melange.
But I digress.
This is Frau Batsby, and you are?
Herr X.
Hi. So, let's go. Let's talk about this award-winning film called Irish Wish, okay?
I thought we were doing Third Man, but okay.
No, that'll be next time. So, we start the film off where there's this, like, it says the explanation of what wish is.
Okay.
And the explanation is to want something that cannot or probably will not happen.
That's a very poor definition of
a wish. I don't think it's a great definition.
No.
And it's a fairy.
You can wish for something and then it happens?
I know. It's very bizarre. So, and it's like a fairy voice saying what a wish means.
Okay.
And then we have a very sunny Ireland, so already...
I'm just thinking it's a very pessimistic view. It's like, it will not happen.
Well, you live in Europe. How do you think? You want a wish? No. You have to look. So we start off with a very sunny Ireland, so already kind of unrealistic, rolling hills. And then the voice continues with, after the bad definition of wish, but what if it does? Mm-hmm.
So what if everything I said was false?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Irish Wish, we are now in New York City.
Okay.
The camera shows a very clean New York City.
Which is probably Toronto.
Yeah. No, it actually is New York City, but I think they hide all the homeless. It's like drone shots. Then we are in the meatpacking district, also shockingly clean. There's cameras and a red carpet and a step and repeat. You know what a step and repeat is.
What?
I told you what a step and repeat was.
Yes. Of course. I remember everything you say.
I know you do. It's when celebrities show up to the red carpet and they stand in front of something that might have the name of the film or advertising. That's called a step and repeat. And that's where photographers take pictures.
Okay. It's a thing with the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
A step and repeat?
It's called a step and repeat.
It's like a rinse and repeat.
Yes. Step and repeat. So this is a fancy night for a book release, a book launch. And there's tons of paparazzi. So it's, again, very unrealistic. So Lindsay Lohan pulls up in a cab and she's wearing a scarf. And the scarf bothered me. And then a man across the street steps out of a yellow luxury sports car. She smiles at him from across the street and he kind of nods at her. He looks a little bit like Pedro Pascal. She shuts the cab door and her scarf gets stuck. And the cab goes running off, driving off. So, you know, she's goofy. And then she goes, hey, that's my scarf.
And she's like, 10th scarf this year.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm so clumsy and cute. But I think the cab driver did her a favor. It was an ugly scarf. So the guy that gets out of the luxury car is an author.
Oh, of course.
It's his book launch night.
Yes.
He hugs her in front of the step and repeat. And then he pulls her onto the red carpet so they can take pictures together.
Wait, they just met?
No, they know each other. Like, there's a smile. Okay. But don't worry, this is like a made-for-TV movie, so everything is explained within 5 minutes of what we're looking at. Cameras are flashing. He introduces her as a great writer, but she's like, no, I'm just your editor.
Oh, well.
And apparently writers make a shit ton of money because this is a pretty fancy thing in the meatpacking district. He then asks her to save him a seat.
Wait, this is the step and repeat. Like, this is the stuff that you do for, like, you know, like celebrities.
Yes.
What author do you know that does a step and repeat?
No author.
Right.
Yes.
I could see Salman Rushdie is like, do I have my good angle? Ooh. Get my...
Problematic statement there, honey.
No, just get his good eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he then asked her to save...
Poor Salman Rushdie.
Poor Salman Rushdie. So he then asks her to go inside and save him a seat. I'm like, it's his own book launch. Why would she save him a seat inside? I have problems with this. And then he says that he has something very important to tell her. So she's all excited. So you can tell that she has a crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
The reporters then ask if there was a special lady who inspired his latest book. He winks at Lindsay Lohan. And then she's like, ooh. She gets a call from her mother, who's Jane Seymour.
Oh, okay.
Who is apparently a principal of a school. And it's weird because when the mother calls her, it's daytime. But in New York, it's nighttime. So I was thinking maybe West Coast, East Coast situation.
Yeah.
But she's not. Okay, so the writer's name is Paul. The mom actually lives in Des Moines, Iowa. So apparently there's huge time difference between New York City and Iowa. That kind of inconsistency drives me crazy.
Yeah, they're central time. They're literally maximum 1 hour difference.
Right. Well, maybe it was sunset. Who knows?
Who knows?
So then she's talking to her mom and she asks her mom if she told anyone about her feelings for this writer. Because Lindsay has a secret crush. The mom is like, no. And then Lindsay's like, even my friends don't know I have a crush. And she's been working for him about a year. And she's like, but Paul should know because I've been showing him signs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she has been showing him any signs.
Also, just the assumption that the guys read all the signs.
You no.
Okay, explain the sign to me like I was 4.
Yeah.
Okay, explain it to me like I was 3.
Good thing that you're the one who pursued the relationship because I don't think you'd pick up on any signs.
Yeah, no, I just...
You just assumed.
Yeah, just assume things.
The confidence.
It's how I live my life.
So then we meet her 2 friends. One of them was actually had lent her the scarf that she lost in the cab. And Lindsay's like, oh, I'm sorry. And the friend's like, oh, it's okay. It's just a sample from work. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? So it turns out that one of her friends designed the book cover and the other friend is a stylist from Bergdorf because it's New York City. So you've got to have these fabulous jobs. Then one of the woman who designed the book cover says that Lohan's name should be on the cover too because she practically wrote the book for this guy.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
So ghostwriter situation.
Yeah, so Lohan's name is actually Maggie, but I just call her Lohan the whole time.
If you're going to get Irish Wish, you got to have a Maggie.
Actually, no, her name is Maddie. Sorry, Madeline. Madeline. Oh, I was confusing. So she walks into
Shanahan. Oh,
Shanahan, yeah. I think she's supposed to be just generic American with red hair. So she walks up into the book launch, to the bar, and then Paul is sitting having whiskey, of course.
Of course.
And she's like, there you are. And he's like, he then sits her down and he's like, it's time that we take our relationship to the next level. And so she's all very excited and he holds her hands and she gasps and she goes, I don't know what to say. And then he goes, will you help me write my next novel?
Oh.
So he's not into her. She's devastated. And that also means that she can't write her novel because she always wants to write a novel, but she's busy editing his book.
Right. Well, now it's problem solved.
No, no. She's going to help edit his next novel. She's not like, okay. No, he's not going to be co-author. No.
Oh.
Yeah. That's sad. So then she agrees. He gets up. He finishes his drink. And then he bumps into the friend of Lohan, who's named Emma, who's the stylist at Bergdorf.
Right.
And immediately there's...
With the bad scarves.
With the bad scarves. And immediately there's kind of a little moment between them.
Hmm.
He's reading his book to the audience. And it's a view of the New York skyline. I'm like, what book launch is this? Who has this money?
For yeah, usually it's a Barnes & Noble.
Right. No, but this is like the Rainbow Room.
Yeah.
So... After reading, Paul is sitting with Lohan's friends, and he's flirting heavily with Emma, who's actually British.
Okay.
And at first I thought it was like a fake accent, but it turns out the actress is actually British.
Yeah.
And then she's asking about Ireland and confused that there's lakes. I'm like, if you're British, you should know. Okay. Just saying. So then the three friends after the launch are in the back of the cab, and she sees that, Lohan sees that Paul has signed Emma's book, her friend, with his phone number, pretty much asking her on a date. So she's devastated. And then Lohan says to herself, like, well, at least it's not a proposal. A few months fly by, and you see an Aer Lingus flight, and Lindsay is at passport control in Ireland, and her friend, who's actually Steph Curry's wife, Aisha Curry, goes, I can't believe they're getting married. Lohan looks tortured.
Yeah, yeah. Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. So they're at the luggage carousel. Lohan tries to grab her suitcase, but people are in the way, so she's like tripping. Oh, you know, she's the main character energy. She finally grabs the bag. At the same time, another man grabs the bag.
Uh-huh. Who's yeah. this guy?
This guy goes, this is my bag. She's like, this is my bag. And they start fighting. And the actor is the guy from the show You, the British politician. The one that we think is the evil guy.
Oh, right, right. Yes,
yeah, it's the same actor.
Oh, great actor.
Great actor. Yeah.
He Why is he this?
Money, honey. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Probably Netflix plays pretty well.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're pulling the suitcase because it's like, no, it's my bag. I'm like, just look at the tags. Just look at the tags. Of course, the bag falls open.
Uh-huh.
It's all his stuff.
Mm.
So she was wrong.
What was in there? Underwear. It's not mine.
No, you see underwear.
Okay.
She's like, oh, it's my favorite plaid skirt. He's like, oh, those are my boxers. So then she's at the lost luggage place. Like, this sucks. So the guy that she's in love with is marrying her best friend.
Yes.
She's in Ireland. She's lost her luggage. So we have to feel very sorry for her. The writer guy, Paul, comes up and says, you know, thank you for introducing me to Emma. She's like, cool, thanks. Great. And then she's like, go ahead to the house. I'll meet you guys there. I'm waiting for my luggage. There are no Ubers. And so then a... typical decrepit Irish tour bus pulls up and she asks the driver if he can take her to the address that she's looking for. And I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
You're an American. You have the confidence to just ask for what you want.
Yeah.
So then as soon as she gets on the bus, then the suitcase guy comes on.
Mm.
I think his name is James. Then we have panoramic views of Ireland. We definitely have to go. Looks absolutely gorgeous. And the guy that she, the suitcase guy, he takes out a camera and we find out he's a nature photographer.
Mm.
So they chit chat.
Okay.
All right. So it's a pretty Irish town. They hit a bump, and then the book that she worked on falls out of her purse. Suitcase guy kind of goes, oh, I hate his writing.
Mm.
And then he finds out that they know each other. It's very embarrassing.
Suitcase guy have a name?
James, I think.
James.
So they pull up to the house, and it's, of course, a huge estate. Not a council estate.
Yes. Which apparently we completely misread.
Yes. Yes. Because one time somebody said to me, like, oh, I grew up on an estate, and I was like, ooh.
Ooh, council estate.
Council estate.
For our listeners in the U.S.,
it's
public housing.
It's public housing. So, of course, she walks up. There's a man carrying firewood, and it's the writer's brother, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Then Aisha Curry, her friend, welcomes her and seems to have a crush on the brother. We meet the writer's parents. They're super hoity-toity. I think they're supposed to be Irish, but they don't seem Irish, but I don't think anybody cares. Lohan almost breaks the vase because, again, she's supposed to be really klutzy and cute.
Well, that's always the one thing that you always have to remember, that when you're in Ireland,
yeah,
it's different than Irish Americans.
Yes.
Where, you know, you have the nice landscapes in Ireland, and then you juxtapose that in Boston in some bar, and it's like,
that song has been in my head for days.
I lost my leg.
So yeah, she sits down, she talks to the fancy parents, and the mother is annoyed that Lohan might not have a bridesmaid's dress because her suitcase hasn't shown up. Suitcase guy, James, goes into a pub called Scruffy Murphy's.
Scruffy My Face?
No, Scruffy Murphy's. Not understand my Irish accent.
Scruffy Murphy's.
Scruffy Murphy's. The Irish bartender is an old friend. And
I thought of that in an Italian accent. Scruffy is a my face.
Scruffy my face. So the Irish bartender is an old friend of photographer James. He tells him his room is ready upstairs and he can borrow his car. And the James guy is British. So I think it's really interesting that the Irish bartender is such good friends with this young British photographer. But hey, I mean, maybe he's a cool guy.
I think you have to suspend a lot of belief.
There's a lot. And the photographer is here to cover the local sheep shearing festival.
Okay, of course, yeah, it's got to be one.
And the
bartender. Is this an annual festival?
I guess so.
I think you could do it a lot. I mean, how fast?
I guess they all shear sheep at the same time and they need a photographer.
I'm definitely going to go through a rabbit hole of how often do you shear sheep?
I know you are.
Can I join?
No, but it does look very satisfying.
It does look great. Have you ever seen it on TV?
Yeah. All right, well, let's go to Ireland and go to the local sheep shearing festival. And then the bartender is like saying to James, like, why don't you just settle down and get married? I'm like, because he's covering sheep shearing festivals. He's a free spirit. So, of course, it's a sprawling estate. We're back at the big house. Lohan is looking out of a window. Aisha Curry is like, Lohan, you seem like a little off. And she's like, I'm fine. No, she's heartbroken. So they're going to go for a picnic with everybody. More views. I think Tourism of Ireland must have paid for some of this because it looks incredible. They step out of a Range Rover, beautiful area with a famous lake. Apparently there's a legend of an evil fairy that lives at the bottom who causes chaos, blah, blah, blah. Also, Paul, the writer, is carrying the champagne bottle in a really stupid way, and it really drove me crazy. He's holding it like a football.
Well, he is American, no?
No.
No, not James, the...
No, Paul.
Okay.
No, they're both, like, Paul is supposed to be Irish.
Okay.
But apparently the actor's Welsh. And then James, the photographer, is supposed to be British.
Okay.
Or maybe Irish, too, but he didn't do the accent.
He's carrying it like a football?
Yeah, it's a weird way he's holding the champagne.
Well, how would you carry it? Like, from the cork and just swing it around?
No, you hold it by the step, like, the neck. I don't know, why would you, like, palm it?
I mean, you'd be extra cautious sometimes. Well, it depends.
Yeah, maybe it's really good champagne. So they go into two rowboats. So the engaged couple goes in one and then Aisha Curry and the brother. And so Lohan is kind of stuck on land. Like, no, that's fine. Everyone be happy.
Okay.
I'm going to be okay.
I'll be fine.
So everyone's taking pictures. Lohan goes for a walk. It's gorgeous. She then sits on a stone bench and her mother, Jane Seymour, calls her. She says she should have listened to her mother and told Paul she had feelings for him. Jane Seymour says, this is a lesson to learn to speak up for yourself.
Yes, this is the lesson.
This is the lesson. Also, she lives in New York. I think she knows how to speak. Okay, whatever. So then she says, as she's sitting on the stone bench, I wish I could go back in time and tell Paul I love him.
Aha.
So then the phone connection breaks, and then suddenly there's this woman that pops up from behind the bench. Terrifying, Lohan. And she goes, was that a wish you were making?
Oh, is she a leprechaun?
No. I'd probably mace her, but Lohan's like, yeah.
Well, she just pops up.
She just pops up. It's terrifying. The woman tells her to sit back down and sit on the wishing bench and to make a wish. Lohan's like, no, it's okay. She's like, no. She convinces her, and Lohan sits down and closes her eyes and says, I wish I was marrying Paul Kennedy, the writer. Nothing happens. And she goes, well, I guess it didn't work. She expected like an earthquake or a breeze. And then the crazy woman is like, well, I can create a breeze. And then suddenly everything starts getting windy and little buds are flying from the tree. And then suddenly she wakes up later on and she's back at the house in the bed.
Mm.
So something's happened.
Something's happened, obviously.
So she wakes up and hears someone in the bathroom. She goes to the bathroom and it's Paul.
So they got married?
Not yet.
Oh.
He's in the shower. She closes her eyes because she's shocked to see him. And he's like asking for a towel. She runs out. She says she needs to take a walk because she hasn't figured out the wishes worked yet. She just thinks Paul's being creepy.
She's a little slow, apparently.
Very slow. And then Emma, the friend who she's supposed to marry Paul, sees her in the hallway, and she's like all embarrassed to have him in the room. She still hasn't figured it out. We've all figured it out, but Lohan, who's wished for this, has not figured this out. Paul walks out of the room and then tries to kiss Lohan, and she like averts her head because she's like, oh my God, in front of your fiance? That's weird. And then her friend Emma talks about hot guys on Irish Tinder and then walks off. And Lohan is still confused. Then Aisha Curry shows up and pulls her into the bedroom and tells her about her weird dream. Lohan tells her about the dream and the stone thing and woman. And then she opens up her suitcase and there's a wedding gown in there. And
I think she's going to need more explanations.
This is why she's not supposed to marry Paul. And then she sees that she's wearing a green engagement ring. And her friend is like, you're marrying Paul Kennedy in a couple days. Yay. And she's like, what? What?
None of the things that just transpired led me to believe this at all.
And then finally,
this is all news to me.
Lohan figures it out and she's super excited about it. She's like, yeah, I'm marrying Paul Kennedy. Yay. She walks down the stairs in a very weird burgundy and pearl ensemble. It's like suddenly as soon as she got engaged to Paul Kennedy, she turns into Margaret Thatcher. The family is having breakfast. Paul's mother is stressed because they need a wedding photographer. A photographer. And the brother points out...
I'm sorry, I'm very Lindsay Lohan yeah, right now. I need things explained to me.
And then the brother of Paul points out that nobody wants to work for their mother. She made the last two photographers cry.
Oh.
Everybody's laughing. And I'm like, so she's an emotionally abusive future mother-in-law. That sounds fantastic. So they have champagne for breakfast. And then it turns out there's a problem with the cake. And then Paul Kennedy suggests a bike ride with Lohan, and she's like, with me? I'm like, lady.
We've gone through this
you
already.
You know that you're engaged to this man. She says she isn't very good at biking, but he's all like, you'll be fine. They're biking through the estate, and she isn't very good. I mean, she grew up in Iowa. You should know how to ride a bike.
How do you not know how to ride a bike?
I don't know. They bike by her friends who are picking apples, and then she falls off of the bike in front of them. Lohan says she'll just push the bike, and Paul is like, but I want to do my cardio. I'm like, what kind of Irish man are you, writer? Cardio. And her friend Emma is like, oh, I'll bike with you. And she gets on the bike.
What kind of stereotyping are you doing?
Extreme stereotyping.
What?
This is an Irish castle rider with a Lamborghini.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he doesn't get his pump in.
Okay.
You know?
You're
go
right.
Do your cardio.
Okay, you're right. It's Ireland. Just walk through the landscape. That's your cardio.
Some unathletic Egyptian Americans run marathons.
Humble bragging right now.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm sure there's other people as well.
Oddly specific. Are we going to take a nap later today? I think so.
Probably, yeah.
So then, of course, her friend Emma, the one that was supposed to marry Paul, is like, oh, I'll bike with you. And he's like, okay. And they go biking off together. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Emma, no. So Lohan looks a little bit ticked as they go racing off. Then Paul's mom comes out and tells Lohan she needs to go to her dress fitting.
Okay.
And it turns out her mother, Jane Seymour, should be on her way to the wedding. Emma and Paul show up on their back bikes talking about men getting Botox. Such a random...
What?
Yeah. So you can tell they're soulmates.
Is this a thing now?
Yeah, lots of men get Botox.
I weep. I remember the day the strength of men failed. Or something like that.
What?
I don't know. Lord of the Rings.
Botox,
which I've never watched.
No. And we're not going to watch it. It's long.
Yeah, I just don't have the time.
I watched it once in a movie theater. I was going to die. So it turns out that the wedding dress that Lohan brought is not going to be her wedding dress. Because her fiance's mother is emotionally abusive. And is going to force her to wear something else. It turns out the dress has been in the family for generations. It's actually really lovely. But they act like it's hideous. I'd wear it. They're in a tailor shop to get it fit. Then, of course, we go to a bookstore, and suitcase guy is there, photographer James.
Right.
He's buying a wildlife book. It turns out he's the 100th customer of the week, so he wins a prize. And I'm like, this bookshop in this tiny town did not have 100 customers this week. I'm sorry to tell you. Probably not. There's like 5 buildings in this town.
100th customer of the week? Yeah, that could make sense.
It's a Wednesday.
Midweek, wow.
Yeah.
They're killing it.
Maybe we should open a bookshop in Ireland. So he wins a copy of Paul Kennedy's book, but much to his dismay, because remember, photographer guy thinks that he's a hack. So out on the street, we see that weird wish lady.
Mm-hmm.
She's holding a piece of paper, and then she puts a canceled sign over the sheep shearing festival poster.
Why?
because she's got to put these two together. Mm. Remember, they need a photographer for the wedding, blah, blah, blah. So,
who's going to shoot a sheep?
You know, they probably at this point do it themselves. So, suitcase guy sees the canceled sign and he goes, oh, bugger. And then he goes, and then back at the tailor, Lohanna's looking at herself in the mirror with her friends. And she goes, if Paul wants me to wear this dress, then I will. I'm like, there's a lot of red flags in this relationship, this fake relationship. Then she sees the creepy lady in the mirror that gave her the wish. And so she goes running out of the shop in the wedding dress, chasing down Wish Lady.
Why?
Probably to be like, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
This is great. She chases the woman as she crosses the street. And then the suitcase guy, James, shows up in the convertible. She flips into the car onto his lap.
Okay.
And so remember, they technically haven't met yet in this alternate universe. They met at the airport.
But she remembers him.
She remembers him, but he doesn't remember her. She gets out of the car and then sees a copy of Paul's book. And she's like, what? I thought you didn't like his books. And he seems very confused because, of course, he hasn't met her.
Haven't had this conversation.
Paul's mother and her friends come running up. And she introduces James as a photographer. And the mother's like, oh, good, you found a photographer. He turns down the offer. And she's like, I'll triple your fee. And he's like, okay.
Maybe you should know what the fee is.
Yeah, but they're rich. Rich people that live in a big house, so they can afford it. So remember the story I told you once that Office Twin told me about his... So he's a nature wildlife photographer. Remember his friends who were getting married and they didn't want a photographer at their wedding? So the parents hired a wildlife photographer to hide in a tree to take pictures.
One of the best stories I've ever heard.
One of my favorite stories. I love it so much.
Was it narrated by Attenborough?
Yes, probably.
As you can see.
The bride walks down the aisle. So he accepts it. Suitcase Kai comes to the Kennedy house, and he's being shown magazines about how to photograph the wedding. Paul shows up at the house. He asks who the car belongs to, because it's the convertible that James has been borrowing from the Irish bartender. Everyone seems to make a lot of money in this town. Paul suggests that after the wedding, they do PR pics in the countryside for his PR campaign as a writer.
Yeah.
Mother suggests that the three of them spend the day together tomorrow to hunt for spots, of course. Lohan walks him, the photographer, out of the house. You can tell there's a spark between them.
Okay.
He drives off and she watches him leave. So brushing her teeth, she's smiling to herself in the mirror. She talks to herself that she's excited about getting married.
Wait, you can tell there's a spark between them? Like, did they really have to... Because something tells me you have to be really on the nose and explain things to this audience.
Yeah, there's music playing. There's like a little look between them. It's
probably an actual spark.
Yeah, probably. I should look back for that. So she's smiling to herself in the mirror. She's so happy she's marrying this guy. Then she's sleeping in bed. Paul, her fiance, reaches out to touch her. She freaks out, punches him in the face, and kicks him in the junk. So the next day, James, the photographer, is back. Lohan shows up to the car. Her fiance can't make it because he's got a black eye and because of his groin.
Right. And of course, you know, because she cannot sleep with him in this type of scenario. Because then when she gets with the photographer guy, you know, be like, yeah, no, I've never.
Never, ever. But yeah, she has to. Yeah, she's like, there are holes in the story.
I know why you might think that I have had a situation with my fiance.
But I have not. So then, of course, just the two of them have to spend time alone because Paul is nursing his groin. So they drive through the beautiful countryside. He asks her how she became an editor. She said she was a freelancer, but that wasn't paying the bills. This is the most realistic part of the film. She joined a publishing firm and she was a good fit with Paul. He says, but they aren't. They're really opposite. And then, of course, there's silence because Lohan's mad. More rolling hills. Then we're back in Des Moines. And we know this because there's huge script that goes across.
It's Des Moines.
And the mother is...
It's a great city, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, we should go check it out.
I've worked there a few times.
Oh, well, we'll check it out. Mm-hmm. So you see Jane Seymour is sleeping in bed. It's 5:52 in the morning. And then randomly the clock speeds forward. So something's going on. So then we're driving along cliffs in Ireland. And it's terrifying. It's the Cliff of Moher. There's supposed to be these beautiful cliffs. He takes pictures of her and asks what she thinks. And she says, I feel like I've stepped into a James Joyce novel.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out Third Man. That was even mentioned.
Yeah. And then he says, I wasn't expecting you to say that. I guess he's impressed that she likes James Joyce. And then he's my juice.
Because everything so far in the movie denotes that she's not that smart.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's like, you stupid American. You know James Joyce. She goes, he's my favorite author. And he's super impressed.
Wow.
Wow. She says that she wishes she could get married on the cliff. And he's like, why don't you? And she's like, well, the wedding's this weekend. I don't want to be difficult. Yeah. Also, there's no bathrooms on the cliff. Don't make your guests go up to a cliff to watch you get married. They share a little moment again. There's sparks. View is amazing. So then back at the estate, Paul's brother and a friend are doing archery. Paul has an ice pack on his eye because of the attack. Emma shows up.
How hard did she punch?
It's not that hard, but of course he's dramatic. That's why I don't believe he does that much cardio. So Emma, the friend, is concerned about Paul, and there's a moment between them. I'm like, Emma, you're a bridesmaid. Step off. Fine. So back on the cliff, the storm is rolling in, and Luann says her mom should be on her way for the rehearsal dinner at some point. But back in Iowa, the mom is still in bed because somebody has made the clock speed up. She looks at the clock. She's overslept. Panic. So then back in this car, they're driving through a storm. There's a tree in the road, so they have to turn around. And, of course, they end up in a typical Irish restaurant that has the best fish and chips in Ireland.
Of course.
And there's jig music playing, and they're all dancing. And actually, I really wanted to go. It looked really cool.
Was it the da-na-na?
The da-na-na, something similar. And then I was thinking about the Angry Friar in Gibraltar.
Oh, yeah.
And then I ordered the lasagna, and it came with French fries.
Yes. And your reaction was priceless. It was...
That's interesting.
I was like, oh, she cannot.
She's not happy.
You are so polite about it, but like, that's interesting. I've never had French fries with my lasagna before.
That was funny. That food was terrible there. So in this pub, they bump into an old friend of the photographer. She tries to call Paul to say that they're going to spend the night at this inn, but of course, she's not getting much reception. The friend is saying to the photographer, like, ooh, she seems interesting. He's like, no, I'm just photographing her wedding and staying at this hotel restaurant for the night with her. They sit down. The guy offers them beer. She's like, oh, no, I'll have a white wine. He's like, oh, if you're in Ireland, you got to have a Guinness. And then she goes, he seems great. And she's not being sarcastic. So they sit and chat, and she finds out that he's pretty much homeless. He's just a wandering photographer. He just stays at places. So she should definitely leave the very wealthy Irish writer. And he says something like, he travels with a camera and a passport, and she asks if he ever gets lonely, and he says there's freedom, but he seems sad. So he's a passport bro.
Passport bro?
I told you about that. It's like a new term for guys that like sex tourism. It's a whole thing.
No, I feel like... How many conversations have I been?
So many. I think you just tuned me out a lot.
No. Passport bro?
Yeah, we talked about it a few weeks ago.
I'm just thinking like it's a young guy with a passport.
No. Passport bro is a type of guy that goes, like, some of them want to find like a woman that they can marry who's considered less dominant compared to the typical American woman. I'm trying to be cryptic.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah, right. I'm kind of like this movie. I'm giving you information. So there's, of course, after, you know, he says he's got a passport and freedom, there's an awkward moment because, of course, they're sharing a moment. And then he's like, let's play darts.
Oh, of course.
And then he teaches her how to play darts by like holding her hips. They share a moment.
Well, it's better than holding the dartboard, I'd say.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Yeah. And then she stops. She's like, I'm getting married in 2 days. And his response is, Right. The drinks come just in time. They get keys to their room. She tries the Guinness and goes, ooh, delicious. Of course. She lives in New York. She's had Guinness.
So I'm sure that probably Irish tourism has really paid in on this.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of cable knit sweaters.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a jig starts up and they start dancing on the dance floor, having a great time. So Jane Seymour is at the airport pushing through the line. She gets to the counter and it's a former student and she kind of makes fun. It's a whole thing. It was not very exciting. But you can tell that Jane Seymour has missed her flight. She's trying to get to Ireland for her daughter's wedding. So they keep showing her being delayed and stuff. I guess there's a reason to not have the mother there. So back in Ireland, it's almost like a river dance. Everybody's dancing. They're having a great time spinning and blah, blah, blah. The rain is pouring down. It looks idyllic. I actually would have an amazing time.
We have to go.
Yeah. So, of course, the next morning, the car won't start. It's the wedding rehearsal day. Mechanics suggest a running start. They push the car. The car starts. They're covered in mud. Of course, Luann has to look like a complete mess when she shows up at the rehearsal. So, back at the estate, Paul's mom is upset. Everyone is waiting. They're in the car rushing back. And of course, the priest is there, so they need a stand-in for the rehearsal. So Emma, the bridesmaid, stands in for her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Again, inappropriate. Inappropriate. Judas. Lohan comes running in. She switches out with Emma. And Paul is like, what happened? And she was like, oh, we were at the Cliffs of Moher. And then we got trapped. And he's like, oh, that tourist trap. I hate the Cliffs of Moher. See? Like, they're just not a good. They're not good. The priest starts again. They're about to kiss when she looks up and sees the stained glass window. And it's the face of the woman who gave her the wish.
Mm-hmm.
And she winks at her. She screams, fall down. Everything goes black. So I guess she passes out. Everyone is staring at her. There's an awkward silence. And then she points to the stained glass and goes, that's her. And they're like, what are you talking about? That's St. Bridget.
Mm.
So St. Bridget is, well, I'll get to that point in a minute. So they continue with the rehearsal. Then there's a fancy dinner. Paul's father makes a speech. They all cheers. Then Lohan, of course, is drinking Guinness at the fancy dinner because she's changed.
Yes.
She likes Guinness now.
She's become of the people.
And he goes, you like Guinness now? And she's like, she's acquiring a taste for it. And then the photographer, who's also at the rehearsal dinner taking picture, gives her a smile. It's a moment. All right. So then they decide that they're going to play a game, asking how well do you know your fiancé.
Of course, she doesn't know anything.
Yeah, so there's a lot of questions. The first question is, who is Lohan's favorite author? Emma says, that's an easy one, Paul, and everybody laughs. Oh, that's an easy one, Paul Kennedy, the Irish author she's marrying. I get it now. Then Paul is like, she likes Charles Dickens. And at that moment, he says that the suitcase guy is like mouthing, James Joyce. Because he knows her so well after a few hours hanging out with her. She awkwardly laughs and says, that's right. And then she sees the photographer guy and he looks disappointed.
No.
Second question, what's the first dance you danced together? What song did we dance? I don't think we had a first song.
Dance together? I would definitely say it was one of the 80s type music. Like Dance Dance.
Do you think so?
Well, first song... We had 90s music where I think one of the first things that I remember you saying, and I was like, oh, I love this lady. I was like, who? Like, it was something about, I think, a Biggie Smalls song.
Probably.
And you're like, who did he do this with? And you knew who the lady backup was or something like that. I'm like,
I have all this little information in my head that just doesn't.
You'll the amount of B-list actors that you know the names of, you're like, oh, that's. Yeah, like, listen, I think a lot of people know Paul Giamatti, but I don't know of him, you know?
It's like Anthony LaPaglia.
Yeah, Anthony LaPaglia. I'm like, who is that? Yeah, he's that guy, you know? But I wouldn't be like, oh.
But you're getting better. You're better at faces than I am.
No, I'll recognize that I should know this person, but I would not remember the name. I remember, the guy, friends with Larry David, the guy that just passed away.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
Which now I forgot.
Oh, that's terrible.
But anyway, I saw him once as a young, I must have been 13, 14, mm-hmm. and I was in New York City, and I saw him, and I said, hey, it's the Boku guy.
Right.
And I remember, because he looked very disappointed that I didn't know his name.
Yeah, because he had a pretty good career besides that.
Yeah, but Boku was, I mean, everyone remembers.
Everyone remembers.
But I can't remember his name now.
Anyway, I can't remember the first dance we danced to. Anyway... That was one of the questions, and Paul says, she doesn't know how to dance. But Suitcase Guy is like, we danced last night. He's like, no, this guy doesn't know her. Last question, where did Paul propose? And of course, Lohan doesn't know,
because
this is all whatever. So she looks at Paul, and he says, O'Toole's in Brooklyn on my birthday.
She must have been very, very amazed that he put all that thought.
Yeah, and because she said something to him, what will it take to bring me to Ireland? And he was like, we'd have to get married. And then he looks at her to continue the story. Of course, she doesn't know it. And then it turns out that she actually proposed to him. So, it you know. And then, of course, Suitcase Photographer Guy is like, not.
How awkward is it? Because he knows everything. She doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, because we finish each other's. And she's like, Guinness.
Pizza. So it's nighttime and everybody is dancing in the big hall. And the song was Do You Remember? Do you remember? Which we had at our wedding. Suitcase Guy is invited to stay the night by Paul's mom. He walks out of the dining room and Lohan walks after.
Wait, do you remember the time that Michael Jackson
was? Not remember the time. Do you remember...
Dancing in September.
Thank you.
Ah, there you go.
With
Wind and Fire, I think.
Yes, thank you. So Suitcase Guy leaves. He walks out of the room. Lohan walks after. They chat in the den. There's tension. And then he asks, is it everything you imagined? He gestures to the house. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it is, suitcase guy. You're homeless. This is amazing. What is wrong with you? And then he's like, it seems like you guys don't know each other. He hopes she isn't making a mistake. She's like, we only spent a day together. It doesn't give you the right to question this. And then he's like, yeah, but you proposed to Paul. And she's like, what, you don't think women can propose? And he's like, of course not. It's just that if you were my girlfriend, I wouldn't have made you wait.
Uh-huh.
So they have a fight, and he says he'll leave after the wedding.
You know what? The hints are so strong that even Lindsay Lohan can pick up on this.
Not yet. I don't think so. I don't think she's picked up on it yet.
Huh.
Yeah, this, yeah. So her mother calls and says she's finally getting her ticket to... She got a new ticket to Ireland. Then the screen in the airport flashes that the flight's been canceled. Complete chaos. Mom is running. And then the wish lady, St. Bridget, trips her in the airport. And she falls down. I'm like, who's this saint? This woman is nuts. She's
an
a
Irish
menace.
Saint.
Yeah. So Lohan walks back into the dining room. And Paul and Emma are dancing together.
Ah.
Emma. Paul comes over and says he wrote both their vows for them and emailed them to her. Then asks her to edit. So then Lohan heads to bed. He kisses her on the cheek and she leaves. Suitcase guy is looking at pictures that he took of her of Lohan on the cliff. He's in love.
Hmm.
He opens Paul Kennedy's book and he sees edited by Lohan. So then Lohan's in her room. She's on the laptop and she's going to try to start to write her novel the night before her wedding. She has nothing else to worry about. But of course she closes the laptop. She's not inspired.
Okay. Look, speaking for the rational people at home who are listening, like, okay, this is my thing with rom-coms.
Yeah.
So I think women like it because they like the tension about the whole thing.
Yeah.
For rational guys,
yeah.
I'm not saying all guys, but like, because this thing could have been sorted in like, why is this still going?
Excuse me. We like, we like the pursuit, the will they, won't they. How complicated do I make your life every day?
Oh, extremely complicated.
See, it's a rom-com.
No, but you're still rational.
Yeah, I had a really bad nightmare last night, and I was mad at you for no reason.
Yes.
So there you go. There's your rom-com.
Well, I'm
sure. Here's your rom-com. You're welcome.
Yes, for listeners at home, apparently I did something wrong.
So bad. So bad.
In the dream.
So bad.
This was not me in real life.
I just feel like you somehow thought about it. And I actually wrote it down. I sent an email to myself with the dream so I would remember it.
Well, send it to me. I'll edit it.
Yeah. What are you, Lohan? All right. So then, of course, it's the night before the wedding. Lohan closes the laptop. She looks out the window and she sees her future husband and Emma outside talking on the terrace. And then Paul brushes the hair out of her face. It's like a tender moment. But then he leaves and Emma cries walking away. So Lohan's like, they're probably supposed to be together. I messed this up. So the next morning, Paul is jogging.
I like that she's really upset about this fake relationship that she's only had for a day.
Yeah. That's how it works. It's really fast. Irish time. Okay. So Paul is jogging the next morning. People are setting up the venue for the wedding. Suitcase guy is taking pictures of the grounds. Lohan sees him, walks up to him, and apologizes. And he goes, I read your book. And she's like, it's Paul's book. And he's like, he knows she wrote most of it.
Because Paul is a dunce.
Yeah, Paul is a total dunce. Then Paul, of course, sees them talking by the fountain and looks a little upset. He doesn't even talk to them. He just assumes that because they're talking by a fountain, something's going on. Photographer guy, suitcase guy, asks her if this is what she really wants. And she goes, this is my wish come true. Again, he's asking her by this incredible curated maze with a fountain from the 1700s.
Yeah.
I think it's okay. But no, you want to be with the homeless man, that's fine. And so he goes, this is my wish come true. And he goes, then why are you so sad? And then he dramatically walks away and she starts to cry. So wedding bells are ringing, guests are showing up, there's lots of fancy cars. Lohan is in her wedding dress and a veil. Aisha Curry comes in and tells her she looks great. Lohan asks her if her mother has arrived yet. She goes to check. The priest comes in and asks if she's ready. She tells him that she thinks she might have done something wrong. She prayed to St. Bridget, and he's like, oh, you have to be careful. She's known for having a sense of humor. And apparently, St. Bridget is a patron saint, one of the three patron saints of Ireland.
Okay.
And she's known as so Patrick, Bridget of Kildare.
So there's Patrick and Bridget. And yeah. Who's the third?
Otani. No, I don't know. It's the first name that popped in my head.
Otani?
No, I don't know who the third one is.
He chose a Japanese guy.
Yes, I know. This little thing popped in my head.
Shohei Otani.
Otani. See? Otani. Yeah. So the priest explains that St. Bridget might not always give you what you want, but what you need.
You can't.
Apparently a homeless photographer.
Yeah.
The music starts. Emma walks in. Lohan says to Emma, I'm sorry. I know that you have feelings for each other. Mm. Emma's like, but nothing happened. And Lohan's like, it's okay. We've been friends since we were kids. So I guess the British accented friend grew up in Iowa and they all moved to New York. It's a very bizarre situation. So then Emma says that she felt like he was her soulmate the minute
How long do you think the plot was written? I just think...
Well, when I wrote my Hallmark movie that never got picked up...
There was no editor of this.
No. Well, no. The thing is that they make sure to explain everything. Yeah. But some things they just kind of let go.
Yeah.
Look, it took me very, very... When I did the Hallmark script that was never picked up, it took me less than a week to write.
Wow.
Yeah. They're very fast.
No, but I feel like most of it is explaining it to the audience.
They have to explain everything, but then there's things where you're like, why is Jane Seymour also a pretty much British woman living in Des Moines, Iowa, at a different time zone?
And then she's the real mother of Emma.
Emma is British Asian. She could be. Adoptive mother, yeah. It was a very multicultural bridesmaid situation going on. Covering all our bases. So, of course... Emma says that she felt like Paul was her soulmate the minute they met, and then says Lohan is acting pretty cool about this, finding this out just before she's getting married. And then Lohan says she's going to make it right. Now, if I was Emma, I was like, make it right. You're going to kill me because I've just admitted to being in love with your future husband, but yeah, it's a movie. The guests are taking their seat. Priest walks in with Paul. Emma walks down the aisle with a groomsman. Aisha walks down. Emma and Paul share a look. The music starts and everyone stares at the door. Nobody's coming. And then Lohan is not wearing her wedding dress. The music stops and she walks down the aisle. Everyone whispers. She stands at the altar and introduces herself and says that people always tell her to speak up for herself. I'm like, yeah, this is the right time. She cares about Paul, but she's not in love with him. And she thinks he feels the same way. The audience gasps. She talks about finding love and then gives a look to the suitcase photographer guy who is photographing the wedding. Of course, there's outrage from Paul's side. He blames him. Paul says, I saw you two talking at the pond today. And Lohan then says, I saw you and Emma talking on the terrace last night. And Paul's like, that's irrelevant. And then Emma's pissed. Suitcase guy then says that Lohan wrote Paul's latest book. Then there's man rage. He says, I wrote that. And she's like, no, I wrote that. And then Paul shoves suitcase photograph guy. They start to fight. Lohan falls over. The men fight. Then Lohan's phone rings and she picks it up. Her mom is in the hospital with a broken foot back in Iowa.
Yeah.
St. Bridget broke this woman's foot in the airport. She assaulted.
See, this is the part of the, this is the exciting part of the movie.
Yeah, you want to see like a vengeful saint?
Yeah. So how long was this movie?
An hour and a half. We're now about an hour.
Like literally, you could have just like, you could have done a, like 15 minutes of explaining she thinks she likes this guy, blah, 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 and then get to the fight scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wedding and the fight.
Yeah. So then the mom asks, how was the wedding? Lohan's on the phone watching the men fight. Then suitcase photograph guy storms out. Paul is on the ground. Emma checks on him and then gets really mad because he said irrelevant earlier. So Lohan chases after photograph guy. She says he says he should have never taken the job because he got too emotionally involved. You're a nature photographer.
That's why he chooses what he photographs.
Yeah, and then he says the best thing he can do to leave. And she's like, what? And then they both are tearing up. He walks away. And then she chases after him, stops. They share a passionate kiss. And you think he's going to stay, but then he gets off in the car and drives off.
again, rom-coms. Like, why? They just prolong this tension. And it's like, oh, come on.
You got to.
Oh.
So then she steals a car. She goes in a Range Rover. She drives through the countryside and she returns to the wishing bench. And she goes, I'm here now. This was all a mistake. Of course, the saint appears. She says she needs to unwish her wish, but the saint says that is impossible. And Lohan says she's learned her lesson. The saint is like, oh, okay, then fine.
Then send her back.
And then she's like, she disappears behind a tree. Then Lohan sits on the bench and asks for a breeze, yelling, take back my wish. Everything goes in reverse. Back to the beginning before the wish. She checks the bathroom back at the estate. Nobody is in there. Aisha Curry comes in and tells her to get her bridesmaid dress on. Emma and Paul are getting married. Lohan is thrilled.
Yes.
Her phone rings. It's her mom, and she's in Des Moines. All is normal. Emma and Paul get married, and she's not wearing his mother's dress, which is funny. So it just shows, right, like, everything should have gone that way. She thinks she sees the photographer, but it's somebody else. Then there's the wedding reception. Lohan is drinking Guinness. Aisha Curry says she's over Paul's brother, and then another guy shows up and they dance. Emma comes over to say hi, says something about wearing her own dress, yada, yada, yada. Lohan walks towards the exit, and Paul comes out and says the U.S. numbers are huge for his latest book. Mm. They want a sequel. He wants her to get started on it. She says only if she gets a co-writer credit. And he's like, what? Then she turns it down. He's shocked, and he asks, where is she going? And she says, to write my own story.
Yeah.
Yeah. She heads into town and asks about the photographer who was supposed to be renting a room above the pub. Apparently, she just missed him. Mm. She sees him sitting on a bench and asks if she can sit down. He makes a joke about luggage. Because remember, he now remembers her from the suitcase situation at the airport. She says that she wants to write a story about the Cliffs of Moher, and maybe they should go to get there together.
Maybe sometime. We should go there.
Maybe you want to hang out. And then we see St. Bridget the Felon walking through the town. She turns to the camera and smiles.
She's probably beating children.
Yeah. You wished for Christmas? She turns to the camera and smiles and puts on her sunglasses. And then the camera pans out. And then there's a drone view of the two of them walking the cliffs. They talk about playing darts and dancing. The end. There's a lot of work to recap that.
It's So from a guy's perspective, okay, first of all, why that long? It's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, you could just say, hey, you know.
Yeah, but people just like to watch movies, so it needs to be an hour and a half.
No, okay. Then the part where, like, she starts chasing after him, but he gets away. And
yeah,
then
because she's got to take the wish back. Because also, probably, let's analyze this a little bit, he doesn't want to be responsible for what he thinks is, like, breaking up a relationship. He'd feel guilty. He got too emotionally involved with the bride. Wouldn't be good for business when he has to photograph sheep shearing competitions.
Yeah, but that's in the fake scenario.
Yeah, but he only knows the fake scenario at that point. Yeah. So it's cute. Look, if as a teenager, I would have very much enjoyed this film. But I probably would have been like, homeless photographer, beautiful countryside estate in Ireland. Love. I choose love. Well, that's it for now. Thanks, everybody, for listening to our off-topic episode. Please check out Frau Batsby on Instagram for pictures of stuff. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. I hope everyone has a good Easter. What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm just still shocked at this.
Baffled.
Yeah, I'm baffled.
It's like a typical rom-com. It had like every aspect
yes.
of it.
But just when you think, like, you know they're going to wrap up the rom-com, like, they could do it in 15 minutes. Like, you'd be like, oh,
yeah,
no,
but
the,
okay, best rom-com, When Harry Met Sally.
Yes, that's good, because that has Billy Crystal doing,
and it has,
like,
good dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, the old man overbite mm-hmm. with the dance.
It's a great film.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Well, there you have it.
What is Billy Crystal doing these days, aside from Yankee documentaries?
I don't know what he's up to. We'll go check it out.
Gotta reach out to him.
Yeah, gotta see how he's doing. Hey, Billy, what's up?
Well, shout out to Billy Crystal. If you guys want to see one of the greatest eulogies ever, Billy Crystal's eulogy for Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Great eulogy.
Yeah, you've mentioned that a few times.
In this podcast?
No, to me. All right. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Enjoy Easter coming up soon. Thanks for listening. Say bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.